Personal Shopper marks the second movie that director Olivier Assayas has worked on with Kristen Stewart in just 2 years. The last one was the much-acclaimed Clouds of Sils Maria, which starred Juliette Binoche as well. It's hard to classify Personal Shopper, as it follows Kristen's character on a quest to contact her dead twin brother, mixing paranormal elements along the way. As it turns out, she gets more than she'd bargained for. Film opens tomorrow at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the IFC Center, and I'm pleased it has brought Olivier Assayas back to our show. Welcome back.
Thank you.
Did you write this with Kristen Stewart in mind?
I think it was inspired by Kristen, in the sense that we had just shot Clouds of Sils Maria together, and as I was writing the story of a young American girl, I mean, she was my reference point. So, but I was not sure she would be interested. You never know with actors.
Well, she went on to work on a Woody Allen film.
Exactly.
But she said that you both share a nonverbal form of communication.
We do.
Is that something that's common or rare with actors and directors?
Well, I think we are both very shy in our own way, and somehow I think our communication happens on the set. I mean, we are both very aware of filmmaking is something that doesn't really happen in the screenwriting process or the preparing process. It happens when the camera is rolling on the set, and we have very similar instincts, and we both function by instincts. I suppose that's what she means by nonverbal.
A recent piece in Slate describes her as one of our best and most underrated actresses. Do you have any idea why people don't see her as one of the best actresses of our time, even though every director seems to want to work with her?
That's what's happening now. I think that, because she was so associated to the Twilight, franchise or temple or whatever. She was great in those movies, by the way. But I think, it's like teenage movies or whatever, it's not serious, and there's too much of her on social media and so on and so forth, so she's not instinctively, immediately considered as a serious actress. But I don't think there are serious or non-serious actors, the same way there are not, there's no serious or non-serious filmmakers. They are just artists.
Well, some are better than others.
Yeah, that's the nuance. but I think that Kristen is certainly one of the best. But I think, again, I mean, I think she's been overlooked, but also because she's very young and people have not realized the scope of her talents.
Do all of your scripts start pretty much the same way? How much do you know from the start about how the story will develop?
I think I had a lot of bits and pieces and notes on this story, and they all kind of made sense when I figured out how the film had to start. And I really like this idea of this character we do not know. We hardly know where she is. We certainly don't know where she comes from. We don't know what she's looking for. And she's walking in all those empty rooms, and there's some kind of tension that is building that gives us a feeling that she's looking for something, but we're not sure what. And possibly what she's looking for is not even visible. And at that point, we kind of dragged into the fiction. We understand that we are going to be on a journey with this character. And then at that point, everything kind of, just made sense and fell into place, because it became a coming of age story ultimately.
Well, the film opens with her in this empty house and a lot of tension developing. Mm. So when you were writing the script, were you thinking of it in visual terms?
No, I write in terms of emotions, of feelings, of intuitions. For instance, in the screenplay, the description of the house is very different from the actual house where we shot the film. Screenplays are the starting point, and gradually you confront it to reality. That's basically the difference between writing a novel and making a film. When you're writing a novel, you set the story in something that's like your mental space, and there's no resistance from reality. When you make films, when you start describing something that's even remotely wrong or fantasize. What there's a retaliation. Reality just rejects you, you know. And so you, I think that the process of making a film happen is about adapting your writing to reality around you.
Many people talk about filmmaking as collaborative. You mentioned novels. A person sits down and writes all alone. Maybe there's an editing process somewhere along the line. But filmmaking is collaborative. But usually when they talk about it in terms of the director, the scriptwriter, the actors, the editor. But you're also suggesting the circumstances under which it is actually shot. Is that a collaboration as well?
I think it's all about the word writing, what writing a film is about. And I've always considered that screenwriting is only like a tiny part of writing a film. It's to me, the write what I would define as writing in the novelistic sense is something that starts, you know, with my first idea of what this film will be. It kind of grows, and I think the process of writing includes gathering elements on the way, finding the right actors, finding the right sets, finding the right costumes, finding the right hair or the right makeup or whatever. You know, those are elements that are as important as anything in a screenplay to make the whole thing come to life. And you have to freeze it at a certain moment. You need to, because you need a screenplay to get the film financed.
What advantage was it for you as a filmmaker to have started out as a critic? Most of the new wave directors were critics first. Is this something particularly French?
Yes, but it's fading. It's kind of not happening. I'm one of the last few, to put it that way. But yes, it has been for a long time a very strong tradition in French filmmaking. I mean, it's the thing is because I was a very young man when I wrote about films, and to me, that was film school for me. Now young filmmakers, they want to go to film school. When I started making film, it was not so popular to go to film schools. You know, filmmaking was for the bad pupils, for the guys who didn't like school, and I did not like school.
My guest is Olivier Assayas, who wrote and directed Personal Shopper, which stars Kristen Stewart and opens tomorrow at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas and the IFC Center. Director Assayas shared the Best Director Prize at this year's Cannes Festival for this film. In Clouds of Sils Maria, Kristen Stewart played Juliette Binoche's personal assistant who developed an alter ego relationship with her. Here she plays Maureen, a personal shopper for an international celebrity who spends her life picking up glamorous clothes and accessories she's barely allowed to touch herself, while her own life is much more constrained, and she's even more isolated now. What about that situation interested you?
I think that what I am interested in is the real Kristen Stewart, like the individual. I'm attracted to the humanity in her. And I suppose that to get there, I have to get rid of the celebrity. So I have to put the burden of celebrity on someone else, you know, so in a certain way, so people are not blinded by her persona, you know, as the movie star. She's stripped of that and they can see the real life person. And I think that's what inspires me.
I can't think of many French films that deal with ghosts or spiritism. What appealed to you about horror or suspense, which this film has elements of, and this is a departure for you?
I think that any writer has to be interested in the invisible. It's the process of writing is also about dealing with something that is part visible and part non-visible. And I think that movies are about the invisible in many ways untold. My movie, it's always been some kind of undercurrent in my movies, but certainly an undercurrent I was extremely aware of.
In Sils Maria, Kristen Stewart's character, Valentine, or is it?
Yes, Valentine.
Valentine, if we use the French pronunciation, even though she was American. Yeah. She was having a disagreement with Juliette Binoche about a film that they had just seen, and Valentine claims there's as much truth in fantasy or sci-fi than in a lot of quote-unquote more serious films. It almost sounds like it was you were starting to think about this film while you were writing that dialogue.
Yes, I suppose so. Well, even if this is pretty far from from a Marvel Comics type of entertainment, but it's. I kind of made that extra step of, you know, instead of be some of this of the supernatural element being in the background, it comes to the foreground. But it comes to the foreground here and there. But I don't think I made anything that has to do with a genre film, or I'm not even commenting on the genre or whatever. It's just that at specific moment in this film, I need violent emotions. I needed something that was just genuinely disturbing, because that's what the character in the film is experiencing. So yeah, I mean, I had to use the syntax of genre filmmaking.
But you wanted to do it in very contemporary terms. Yes. Texts and iPhones play a prominent role here. And we see a relationship develop between Maureen and an unknown texter, which, of course, helps build anxiety. Mm. And then she also watches movies on her iPhone. Mm-hmm. And I thought that would be something that a filmmaker would hate. Filmmakers hate when you watch their movies on television.
Oh, yeah. I do hate it. I confirm it. You know, I can't agree more than. I'm like any guy. I mean, you know, once in a while, you know, you something comes up, and you just need to reference it or something, you know, and you check in this kind of externalized memory you have. I mean, you know, like your the internet or the iPhone is like an extension of our own memories, you know, when all of a sudden we try to remember something or just make sense of something we just thought, we just look it up on the internet and all of a sudden it comes out. And I think in that sense, it's an extraordinary tool for knowledge and for many other things that are less important, but I think it's part of our relationship to the past, to the world, to some kind of to the complexity of the human experience. So I can do that. I mean, I can certainly be sitting on a train or sitting in a waiting room or whatever and checking stuff on my cell phone, and I'm okay with that. I can't focus on it for 2 hours and watch a full movie. It's completely outside of my abilities.
Kristen rides a motorbike through the streets of Paris rather scarily. Mm-hmm. Had she ever driven one before?
No, she had not, and she arrived on our shoot like 48 hours before we started like principal photography. So she maybe had like an 1 hour lesson on how to ride a scooter. But yeah, I mean, and we threw her into the Paris traffic. I thought she was a heroic.
So that was 2 days before she learned, and then 2 days after you shot it, there were the November 13th attacks in Paris.
Yes.
I wonder if you were very lucky that you at least got that out of the way before Paris became a very different city.
Yes, it did. It did. I mean, it was a matter of 1 week ultimately. I mean, we would never have been authorized to do the to shoot the stuff we actually ended up shooting in the streets of Paris if it had been like a week later. But it did hit us when we were in when we were shooting in Prague. I mean, we had prepared the film like one block away from the Bataclan theater, right? And that's my neighborhood. Mm. I mean, so all of a sudden, and, you know, we were in the Czech Republic, and I was looking at the news, and it was like my neighborhood. You know, it was like the space where I just ride my bike and do my shopping or whatever. So it's that was very similar for so many people in the crew. So it was very violent, like, you know, because the attacks happened on the late in the evening, and we were shooting like at dawn the next day. So we were in Prague, and I went to bed really early because I had to wake up at 4:30 or something. So I went to bed before anything had happened, and when I woke up, all of a sudden, you know, I turned on my phone and I had all those messages. I could not make sense of what was happening, and then I
walked. Although you'd made a film about a terrorist earlier,
yes, I know, I know, you know. So I suppose that's why I'm extra sensitive to the issue and to the understanding of the dynamics of it. But I got on the set, and you know, everybody was just like spaced out. You know, there was this sense of unreality, and I had to decide if we were shooting or not. I mean, what were we going to do? You know, it's a very disturbing situation because all of a sudden everything was like focused on me. So what's your decision? And it's a hard decision to make. And but gradually it made sense that we should keep on shooting. But this echoed through the whole shoot of the film. Certainly.
Do you think about Carlos the Jackal, who you devoted a lot of your time to, in the light of current events? Because terrorism is not gone.
Yeah. You know, I made a movie about Carlos, but also I made a movie about terrorism. So, you know, I have a very clear notion that terrorism is not individuals who blow up bombs. It's usually a state that's sending a message to another state. So it's always something that has to do with Secret Service stuff.
Olivier Assayas wrote and directed Personal Shopper, starring Kristen Stewart. It opens tomorrow at the Lincoln Plaza Cinemas in the IFC Center. He'll be doing Q&As at both theaters tomorrow and Saturday. For information about times, go to our show page at wmyc.org/lowpage. He'll also be at the Metrograph on Ludlow Street in the Lower East Side on Saturday, where some of the older films are showing. And he'll be joined by Greta Gerwig for Clean following the 3:30 screening. And he will introduce Demon Lover at 6 p.m. Have I covered it all?
Well, I will be very busy in the next 2 days, yes.
Well, yeah, we're always happy to see you here. Well, thank you so much for coming by again.
It was a pleasure. Thank you very much.